Lots of weddings in our life.
Lots of weddings. Yeah. We just went to one. Now we watched one on TV.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend who's going to get proposed to tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm so excited for her.
Yeah. It's good news.
Mm-hmm. So lots of weddings.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend who's going to break up with her boyfriend soon.
Yeah. Lots of not weddings too.
Hello, hello, and welcome to one of our recap episodes where we go absolutely cuckoo bananas watching Degrassi The Next Generation from beginning to end. I'm your host, Keely Bell, and join me every other week with Ezra Parter as we watch these characters do whatever it takes and make it through.
Welcome back.
Ooh, welcome back.
It's been a while. I'm rusty. This is Cuckoo Bananas! Exclamation point, a Degrassi colon, The Next Generation podcast. I'm your host, Keely Bell.
And my name is Ezra Parter.
Yes, and we are back from vacation.
Yeah, we went to Mexico.
We went to Mexico. We came back with tans.
Ooh, yeah.
And newfound hatred of our jobs.
Ooh, yeah. And, and if you're listening to this, my boss, I love it.
Yeah, mine too. But yeah, we're back from Mexico. Mm-hmm. We came back on Monday.
Yeah.
Just in time to enjoy the last few hours of Martin Luther King Jr. Day in America.
True. And they were a blast.
They were a blast, those last few hours. Yeah.
I napped.
Mm-hmm.
No, and then I fully slept.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't on Martin Luther King Day.
Right, it was the next day.
It was the next day.
I didn't sleep on Martin Luther King Day because I was at attention.
But yeah, I know I said we would have a character analysis episode this week. But look, guys, look. I was in Mexico. I moved out of Daniel and I's place. So now we like have to like fit it into our schedule to record. This one I can record with whenever.
Yeah, so it's going to flip. Now it's like, when she can't get scheduling done, it'll be a regular episode. Or I guess, which ones are the regular episodes at this point? It'll be one of these episodes. And then
no, these are already kind of the regular episodes.
Yeah, and then the like scheduled ones will be the character ones.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so just know that. Riley Stavros, he's coming. He's coming. Don't worry about it. But we've got a two-parter to talk about today. Yeah. Do we have any other life updates before we dive right into this?
Well, I mean, you moved in.
I moved in. Yeah. Yeah. The place looks great. Mm-hmm. I did a little bit of magic to it. And when your sketch group came over yesterday, they all gushed over how good the place looks. And I'm happy.
Yeah. One of them actually said, like, the ceilings look taller.
Yes. Yes, they did.
Which was something that you specifically were like, if we put the paintings higher, the ceilings will look
exactly,
taller.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
although I must say that one's not any taller. It's just that now there's one when you first walk in that looks the same height.
I agree. I understand.
So I wasn't terrible.
Yeah. Well, also there's the one above next to the door.
Yeah. That one's
also that one nice and tall too. Yeah. Yeah. But yes, it looks great. I'm happy with it. I feel like I did something and now it feels like home.
Good.
For both of us.
Yes.
It is crazy though that like I'm going to be waking up here forever. Not forever, but you know.
No, yeah, we're never gonna move out of this place.
Like, it's just crazy to think that I won't sleep anywhere else unless I'm like going out of town.
Yeah
weird.
Yeah, I mean, me too.
I mean, you already were doing that,
right? That's true.
You didn't really sleep at our place very often.
No, your bed was really hard.
My bed was really hard and small.
Well, not, I mean, it's queen.
It's a queen.
We're okay. But you had it in a corner, so we had to like crawl over each other to get out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very interesting conversation. Anyone need a mattress?
Or a rug?
Yeah, or an ugly rug.
Hey, I don't think it's ugly.
It is.
It went really nicely in my first apartment.
Sure.
It didn't go here.
Yeah.
But it was nice with a green couch.
Yeah. Yeah. And it looked bad here.
Yeah.
So now we got a rug that looks good here and the whole room has been transformed. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. The rug is wonderful. We made a good choice.
We really did. I'm so happy about it.
Mm-hmm. And it feels nice. I'm rubbing my feet on it right now.
Yes, you are. Your little tootsies.
Yeah. My tootsie rolls.
But we're not here to talk about your toes. We're not here to talk.
Sounds like a good pod.
My toes.
Toe cast.
Honestly, I'm sure that would be really funny. Yeah. Like,
really good for the foot fetish community.
Well, also like a podcast about feet that's not necessarily fetishizing. Mm-hmm. I think that's really funny. Anyway. We're going to talk about Degrassi, The Next Generation, season 4, episodes
11 and 12.
Voices carry. Mm-hmm. And do you remember what you predicted?
Not even a little bit of it.
I don't remember what you predicted. I think it was something along the lines of Craig and Ashley being back together. Yeah, I don't remember what it was. It was not this. It was not this.
No.
And then I also had you guess about the JT and Liberty plot. And mm-hmm. I told you, like, JT and Liberty get a new, like, hobby. Mm-hmm. And then you at first said, oh, is the new hobby exploring each other's genitals? Mm-hmm. And then I said, no. Mm-hmm. And then you guessed that they were going to start a skateboarding club.
Right.
But instead, we got an episode of them in the drama club.
Right.
So that was funny.
Yeah.
But I'm so excited to hear what you thought about the end. But mm-hmm. Yeah, let's dive into not the end of the episode. Let's dive into the beginning.
We'll start where it started, right at the beginning.
So we start the episode. Ashley and Craig are making out on the steps of Degrassi.
Yow, yow.
Ow, ow.
No, I said yow, yow.
What is that?
It hurt me.
And Ashley reveals that her dad's getting married and that his wedding has basically taken over their whole life.
Mm-hmm, yeah, because she and her mom were planning it.
Yes. And Craig's like, you know, that he's trying to be like, ah, it's a wedding, whatever. And they're like snuggling on the porch of Degrassi. And then Kate Kerwin drives up, the bad bitch that I love very much. And Ashley and Craig are stopping touching each other because they're like, uh-oh, Kate's here. And she doesn't know that they're back together.
Right.
Because she's like, she obviously doesn't want her daughter to be back with a dirty, lying cheater.
the guy who wrecked her.
Yeah, the guy who ruined her fucking life. And so Craig's like, why can't she know? And Ashley's like, because she will kill you and me.
Yeah.
And so then the opening credits happen. And Craig hears the recording of Dust as sung by Marco on accordion.
It is so bad.
Because after last episode, when he ditched their recording session, they had to record with what they had, which was Marco, an accordion, and Spinner. And it sounds so bad. I wonder if Adamo is that bad of a singer or if they had him like do it up.
I mean, that sounded like somebody trying to be a bad singer.
Yeah.
To me.
I don't know if you'll forgive me. I can't even make that bad. Like, it's such a simple melody.
I don't know if you'll forgive me
for being blind to how you felt. And they're like, oh, God.
I guess my version of a bad singer is just an old man.
Yeah, I think so. I think you need to unpack that.
Hmm. Well, I've watched a lot of Rolling Stones documentaries. Mm-hmm. My parents.
And so Craig's like, oh, God, I can't believe that happened. And I think the implication there is that Marco and Spinner are pissed at him.
Yeah, they're like they're still mad at him. And so we had to record this thing and it sucks and it's your fault, not ours, for sucking.
Yes, yes, that's what happens. But then Ashley is like, Craig, we're back together and I'm happy about it. Because she'd been trying to tell her mom that they're back together. And he's like, why don't you tell her? And she's like, because it's bad. But then she like worked it out. And she's like, I'm going to say this. And so then she says that. And they're like, yay. So then we reveal that JT and Liberty and Manny are in the drama club. And
new club alert.
New club alert. And honestly, from this point on, the Degrassi drama club, pretty active.
Oh, okay.
Like, now that I'm thinking about it, drama club has something going on. I would say every season, but I think season 6 and 7, maybe not.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, they're doing a play, a vampire play.
Dracula that was adapted from the book, not a movie.
Which apparently JT's never heard of before.
Yeah, I don't know. And Liberty wrote the play. JT is directing it and Manny is starring in it. What a fucking dream team. I would give anything to be in this drama club. I'm telling you, I would give anything to be in this drama club.
You think JT would be a good director?
No.
No, he'd be terrible.
He'd be terrible. He's an actor.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he's directing. This is what I mean. Remember I said a couple episodes ago that it seems as though this season they've given JT a bit of an overhaul.
JT is just doing whatever they want to serve the plot every episode.
Yes.
He has no direction or purpose right
like
now.
Like, he is no longer scheming or mischievousing.
No. What? He's no longer mischievousing. He's no longer Jim Caviezeling. He's...
He's no longer he's no longer a little like miscreant. I think that was the word I was looking
for.
Yeah,
that's a good word.
He's just a nerd and it's weird. Yeah. And like, you know, I know people who went from being like a sneaky little boy to being like a normal teenage boy. Like, I know people sure. like that. But it just seems so like this isn't real life, okay? This is a character on television.
Yeah, it's you have with sitcom characters, which this isn't a sitcom, but like mm-hmm. with sitcom characters, it's like, tell us what their thing is and then let's see them do the thing in a lot of different scenarios. And with JT, we got what his thing is, but he isn't doing it and now he's somebody else.
Yeah, like he has no desire to be popular anymore, which we already kind of worked out.
I
like,
understand where
why.
That went. Yeah.
Yes, but like his desire to like be a goofy comedian boy, mm-hmm. like the way he dresses, he's mm-hmm. just suddenly very different. And I don't hate it. I like JT a lot both ways, but it is strange.
Yeah. The actor is so, I forget his name. What's his name?
Ryan Cooley.
Yeah. Cooley is so like likable on screen. Yes. It doesn't really matter what he's doing.
Exactly.
But it does feel like the lovable scamp is gone.
Yes. Lovable scamp is gone. But yeah, I love JT in all ways and all iterations that we get him. So mm-hmm. I don't really care. But like watching it from like an analytical lens, I'm like, JT feels very disjointed from who he was
totally.
In seasons one and two
yeah, no.
at this point.
I forget the word for a character who is just a plot device, but that's what he is.
Is he a patsy?
Nah, that's not,
not it at all.
No, there's like a screenwriting term, but I don't remember what it is.
Okay. So then, yeah, Liberty's freaking out about the play and they're like, no, it's going to be great. You wrote it. You're kicking ass. And she's like, ah. And so then they like leave her be and they're like, you need to be better. Oh, yeah. JT tells her she's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, and he walks away and he's like, your director tells you to believe in yourself. And she's mm-hmm. like, JT just called me brilliant.
And Manny's like, ooh.
Yeah, even though Manny is his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
She literally cared so little about their relationship that she's already trying to pawn him off on the next girl.
Well, I think she like genuinely liked him.
Yes.
And is not mad at him for the breakup.
Well, she likes him as a friend and she always has. Yeah. Like they've been close friends for a long time.
Right. I mean, she only broke up with him when he was like, let's like actually do like romantic stuff, and she was like, wait, this isn't how I like you.
Well, also she broke up with him because he was immature.
Well, right, but it
and
was
he had a small dick.
Well, yeah, but she didn't but she didn't like it wasn't it's she liked him as a friend. He tried for more and she was like, I'll give it a shot, and then was like, nah, I don't like
yeah
nah.
She was like I think ultimately, even if the dick thing didn't happen, she would have mm-hmm. been like, yeah, there's no way I want to fuck him.
Well, not if his dick had been huge.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
She seems like a size queen. I'm just going to say it.
I mean, anybody whose first experience was Craig. Just saying.
That's fair.
So then...
He got that manic dick.
Spoilers.
Sorry. For your audience, they already know.
Yeah. So then in media immersion, Craig tries to show Ashley some songs that he wrote. And they're in the middle of class and he's like whispering to her. And he's like, read my songs. And he's trying to explain it to her. But Snake is like, Craig, stop talking in my class.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just ignoring him.
Completely ignores him. Like he it is visible. It's visibly clear that he hears it.
Yeah.
And is just like, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think, honestly, because remember there was a moment earlier on this season that mm-hmm. he does something similar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've been teasing it.
Yeah. And I
mean, like 8 minutes into this episode, I was like, oh, he's bipolar.
Yes. But so. There was something else that happened earlier this season. It might have been last episode with the band stuff or something.
Yeah, the band stuff for sure was the onset of all this. The onset, but like a symptom.
Think of just season two when he goes and dives in front of the train. Remember that?
True. Yeah.
There's so many instances that I've like the breadcrumbs are there.
Yeah, they knew this from the beginning.
But my question is, do you think that this specific manic episode might have been triggered by the shooting and him finding Jimmy on the ground?
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah, I never thought about it that way.
Oh, yeah.
Cuz it's like why now is he having this kind of like extreme mania? And I think it might be because of the trauma of the shooting.
I think for sure.
I think that's a very
and especially fair like he talks about how I don't know where we are in the plot of of this episode, but at some point he talks to Ashley about not being able to sleep.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, it's not being able to sleep is a manic high for sure. But also, if every time you close your eyes you see your friend lying in a pool of blood on the ground,
yeah,
that would be hard to sleep too.
For
so
sure,
that would, you know, it connects.
But yeah. So yeah, Snake is trying to get Craig's attention and he's completely ignoring him. And then Snake is like, Craig, go sit in the corner at the corner computer. Mm-hmm. And Craig's like, I'm going to sit outside this classroom. You can watch my butt walk out the door. Honestly, like, look, Jake Epstein is a wonderful actor. I love him. However, the caveat here is that when he's playing up Craig's mania, for some reason, he's slurring a lot.
Yeah, he fully doesn't have any life experience with this.
Yes. He's like, you're gonna catch my buzz walking out the door.
Yeah, he's playing it drunk.
And, yes. And it's yes, not, he's playing it drunk.
And it's not at all correct, but it is like, I get the impulse, but it's just wrong.
Yes. It's like as if he's like trying to convey that his mouth is moving so fast that his brain can't keep up.
I guess.
But
or
no.
His brain is moving so fast that his mouth can't keep
up.
But
there
we
go.
But
that's
like,
it
yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. That makes sense.
But it is
a
bad choice.
Yeah, it's just not the right.
It is a bad choice because it sounds wild.
Mania is not speed. It's like decision making.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. As someone who went through a few manic episodes this last year, yes. And I honestly, this is the first time I've watched this episode since having experienced a manic episode.
Mm-hmm.
Not a manic episode, but you know, I've experienced mania in a few instances this year, and now I get it. Mm-hmm. I really understand it because it's like such a strange situation where it's like so much energy, and legitimately the way he says it at the end, he's like, I still feel fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until like the crash after the mania was I like, oh, I was manic.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was going through days like super up, 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 up. Like, remember, I was like, let's go to the fucking beach at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And that was lovely. It's one of my favorite days.
Yeah.
But I was like, just so randomly like, yeah. Because you had said like, oh, we could. I was like, oh, we should hang out. And you were like, okay, we could go to the beach like as a joke. And I was like, let's go to the beach. And I'm never like that.
I didn't experience that as mania.
Well, neither did I at the time.
No, but I mean, even in hindsight, I'm like, I don't think that's. I think that was spontaneity that you're not
used to, that was because at the time of the reason I've for the listener, the reason I've experienced mania is because last year I was going through premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which in your like ovulatory phase, up until your ovulatory phase, you're fine. Once your luteal phase kicks in, it's extreme mood swings. Mm-hmm. So I would go really, really, really high. And then so low right before my period.
Yeah.
And that was like a couple months of 2023 for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Yeah, that was then.
Yes. And I like looking back on the times that it happened later, I was like, oh, yeah, that's the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the day that I was at my highest.
That makes sense.
I was like. Earlier that day, I was like cleaning. I was, you know, making, I was doing things. I remember before I went to pick you up for the beach, I went to the store, got some chips, and I was like driving on the way over.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm hungry. I'm going to go get some chips. And I did. And I was like,
yeah.
And it was just, yeah, it's
just
very strange.
Pure like, not front of brain, but just like, id decision making.
Yes.
Just like, I'm doing the thing I thought of. I'm doing the thing I thought of.
Yes, yeah. For sure. It's strange.
My closest friend in high school, or one of my closest friends in high school, like this is like a, when I'm watching this episode, I was like, I was there for mm-hmm. this. I experienced this. Yeah. And comparing you to her, it's different, which is not to say that you're not right.
No,
it's
yeah,
just
I can,
people experience it differently. But like,
well, also I can fully say like mine was mild.
Yes, yes. Yes. Yours was mild. And her, yeah, hers was more like gray.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, yeah.
Yeah.
The writing of this episode felt true to my experience.
For sure.
The acting did not.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so hard to convey.
Yeah, totally.
Because like, especially back then, where when do you actually even have anything to go off of with bipolar disorder?
Totally. And I like, yeah, again, like Jake Epstein had no life experience with this very yeah. clearly. And that's fine. I'm not critiquing him. I just, yeah.
Yeah.
For anyone watching it and being like, I wonder if this is right. The writing is.
Yeah. Okay. Let's. We have two episodes to get through, and we're three scenes in.
Sorry.
It's okay. That's my fault too. So, yeah, he like storms out of Media Immersion, and Snake is like, "What the fuck?" And so then Ashley follows Craig out. I don't know if she follows him out before. It's like after class.
Yeah. She finishes class.
She sees him in the hall, and. She's like, and Craig's like, why won't you tell your mom that we're back together? And she's like, because, and he's like, and then he says like, well, they're going to have to know at the wedding or something. And she's like, well, maybe we could try and work on them after the wedding. And he's like, oh, you don't want me to go. And she's like,
she's like, I mean, if you're going to be like this.
Yeah, maybe. So then Liberty and JT present the play to Radich. But he's like, Dracula, death, blood. We just went through a collective trauma. Do we really want any of that on stage? And Liberty's like, she presents like her factual evidence from the pages of the book, being like, well, we're trying to say that like you can overcome darkness. You can, like, good will always triumph. Like,
yeah. I think the quote from Van Helsing is something along the lines of, like, from our pain comes our strength.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And she's like, that's what it says in the book. And because Radich is, I don't even know what to call him. What's somebody who, like, only sees things from the surface level?
An
stupid?
Idiot?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think. Yeah, I think of him as like straight edge.
Sure.
Like,
yeah. Someone who doesn't see much nuance.
Stuffy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just a stuffed shirt.
Yeah. He doesn't want to portray any of the darkness that comes with a Dracula play, essentially, on stage.
I mean, he's scared.
He's scared. Yeah. And it's like, I personally don't think that kids who experienced a shooting suddenly are afraid of supernatural content, but I understand where he's coming from. Like, you got kids stabbing each other on stage. There's stakes through the heart.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah. But I mean, Van Helsing shoots a crossbow, not a gun.
Yeah.
And he definitely isn't gonna shoot Drake. Like, it's fine.
Jimmy's not even gonna be at school.
Yeah, Jimmy can't go to school, so it's fine.
So he's like, I want something cheerier. Can't you find something that's a little bit happier? And then Liberty's like a musical. And he's like, yeah, like a musical. A musical about Degrassi.
And all the great things that happen here.
It's yeah.
Like, okay.
And it's like, oh, the great things that happen here, like school shootings,
so
teen pregnancies.
So you literally want propaganda.
Literally, yeah. And I'm curious, like, knowing now... When I first watched the show, the first few times, I didn't really realize that Radich was a teacher in the original series.
Mm.
Now that I've seen a few episodes of Degrassi Junior High and I've seen him as a teacher,
mm-hmm.
I'm curious what his character arc on the show is, on that show was.
Mm.
Because like it's interesting to me that he would come out of that and be this kind of principal.
Right.
You know, like I'm very curious to know what his arc was on Degrassi Junior High and if his arc on Degrassi The Next Generation is retroactive to that or like or reductive to that or whatever, you know?
Like in line with that?
In line with that, yeah. Or does it contradict the arc that he went through in the 80s? Because like he seemed kind of stuffed shirty in the first few episodes of the Degrassi Junior High. But like I remember there's an episode where he like has a nickname for a student and the student doesn't like it. And so he's like, Mr. Radich, I don't like that nickname. And then I'm just like, oh, okay. And then he's like, thank you for speaking up. Something like that.
Sounds like a good episode.
Yeah, it was a fine episode. Degrassi Junior High is weird for me. Anyway, we don't need to get into it. So Liberty and JT are like, so now we have to write a musical, a Degrassi propaganda musical.
And they're like, but we have rehearsal tomorrow,
right? Because
he's like, great, you better get to work.
Yeah, they've already got like all the cast of the show and everything. And the cast is really excited about the play, which is, and Alex is in the play and I love that for her. She's in it. Some guy that I don't know his name is in it. Manny's in it.
Bertram.
Manny's in it, Emma's in it, and they're all having fun. So then Craig goes to see Jimmy, and Jimmy's doing some like exercises in the bed.
In his hospital room.
And Craig's complaining about Ashley, and Jimmy's like, dude, I swear to God, if you come in here complaining about the life that you get to walk around through, I will kill you.
He doesn't say any of that. He just kind of throws the thing he's trying to pull and lays back in the bed. And Craig's like, oh shit, my bad, dude.
Yeah.
I see it now.
I understand what I'm doing.
That's on me.
But then Jimmy goes, no, please talk about yourself, because at least you're not coming in here talking about the weather or my legs. Mm-hmm. And Craig is like, he says something about like where he's like sleeping that night or something, because he's like, I don't remember why he felt. Oh, right. Because
Jimmy's like, dude, if you want to talk to Ashley about it, you just got to get her alone somewhere.
Yes. And then Craig's like, well, her family's Wedding Central right now. And my family home is Painting Central right now. So I don't have anywhere to go. And Jimmy's like, what? Do you want to come here? Because I don't think we have any vacancies. Mm-hmm. And then Craig's like, vacancies? Like at a hotel.
Hotels have vacancies. That's the place where they have the no vacancies.
It's on the signs outside. And so then he goes home, and yes, they are indeed painting and having pizza for dinner again, as Joey says.
What a weird detail.
Well, it's because they've been painting and so they can't like cook, I guess.
Oh, I see.
They're having pizza for dinner every few
nights.
I thought
it was just like they were like subtly like, let's have Joey just like throw a jab at Caitlin for no reason.
We're having pizza for dinner again because your stepmom doesn't know how to cook.
So weird.
But
I guess if it's about the painting.
Yes. And so Craig tries to get Joey to lend him his credit card so that he can rent the hotel room. Mm-hmm. And Joey's like, no, I heard that you skipped class today. And you know what happens to boys who skip class? They don't get credit cards. And Craig's like, oh, Joey, why?
He's like, it was just study period. It's like,
it's still a period.
You can't just leave school, you idiot.
Yeah. So Joey, like a dum-dum, was like, no, you can't have my credit card, but I am going to leave my wallet right here in front of you, you angry teenage boy.
Well, it's not like he puts the wallet down in front of him and says, no, you can't have my wallet, wink, wink. No, the wallet's just like already there.
Yes, but it's also like so convenient.
Yeah.
It's like, what are the odds that the second Joey walks away and says, no, you cannot have my credit card, does the first thing that Craig lay eyes on is his wallet, where his credit card is.
That's true.
He didn't even have to go looking for it.
And the reason he walked away is because Caitlin's like, honey, I can't open the paint.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it works. This woman who's like brilliant.
This woman who's brilliant and like ripped.
Yeah. I get the plot device, but I'm like, she doesn't need his help.
Yeah. He's also like 5'6".
Joey can't lift that.
It's taller than him. And so, yes, Craig does indeed steal the credit card.
Mm-hmm.
So then Craig goes to the venue where they're all getting the wedding set up. and he meets, I couldn't even tell you where this woman came from. But what I will say, is that Sally is my is the first rendition of what I like to call the like weird Tara Reid manic pixie dream girl. Not even, what would you even call her? Like, she's not a manic pixie dream girl. She's like a boring nightmare fae woman.
I think of them as makeup nightmares.
Makeup nightmares.
Because they're just like caked on makeup.
Yeah.
The hair's straightened and it's just like.
And they speak in a weird vocal fry.
Yeah.
And she's the first rendition on this show of like three at least characters just like that. Where anytime a character's like going through something, here comes a bitch with crazy eyeliner a weird vocal fry. And she's like, hey, you want to try cheating on your girlfriend? You want to try drugs? You want to, it's, I'm telling you, it's happened at least three times.
The writers have like a succubus thing.
Yes. She's a succubus. And so, yes,
Sally the succubus.
Aw, I love her. Like, I will say, like, that is one of my favorite tropes because it's very crazy and stupid.
It's interesting.
But I love her. And she can't act, like, at all.
Oh, she's terrible.
So she's, like, trying to flirt with Craig. But then Craig is like, look, Sally is Chris's sister. So Chris is Ashley's dad's fiance. Mm-hmm. And Sally is his younger sister. So now Sally is basically Ashley's aunt, even though she's, like, 18. And
if she was 30, I wouldn't be surprised. Like,
yeah,
the makeup just makes her not a real human.
Yeah, she looks really weird and old. But like, I'm assuming she's at least a teenager.
I think the intention of the writing is like, I'm your peer.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And so she's like flirting with Craig, and then he's like, "No, I love your niece. Sorry." Oh, right, because early in the episode, he almost told Ashley he loves her, but he was like. Because she was going to go to the airport for something or pick her dad up from the airport or something. And he was like, I love airports. It's where people say hellos, goodbyes, I love yous. And she's like, huh? And he's like, oh, I only say it at airports. And so.
And she's like, that's cute.
Yeah.
You're not coming to the airport with me.
Yes. And so then when he says that he loves Sally's niece, Ashley. Mm-hmm. Ashley has overheard him, and she's like, I thought you only say that at airports. Oh, I hate her voice.
She has a way of delivering like cute lines in a way that's not cute at all.
Because she's just like, she sits there and she's like, I thought you only say that at airports. Like, what? Who speaks like that? So, yeah, Ashley overhears, and then Craig's like, hey, I have something for you. And he gives her a hotel room key, and she's like, what? And so then Kate comes over, and she's like, Ashley, I told you we don't have any room for any more guests, especially uninvited ones.
You cross my daughter, I cross you off my list.
Yep. and so Craig brings Ashley to the hotel, and he shows her a romantic setup that he has set up.
He made a heart with A plus C. A C in the ground.
Yep.
He didn't do it on the bed. He did it on the ground.
And then there are two beds in the room. And Ashley's so like, oh my God. Even though that hotel room looks rank.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Was that a fucking Super 8?
I couldn't handle the ugly, ugly, ugly comforters.
Bedspreads? Yeah.
They were terrible. Hideous.
Very early 2000s. It fits, but terrible.
Ah, like, awful.
Have I been in that hotel room? I'm pretty sure yes, but.
Yeah, it's just awful, awful. But Ashley's so she's like, oh my God. And then she's like, you got a room with two beds. And he's like, well, yeah, there's two of us. And he's not going to be Craig about it and assume that they're going to fuck. And then she's like,
not totally.
But then she lays back on the bed and she's like, well, what if we only need one? And it's like,
the seductive pose is atrocious.
The seductive pose paired with her crazy like early 2000s punk outfit with the leggings and the Converse. Mm-hmm. It's like watching Avril Lavigne try to be sexy.
And I don't know if it's good acting that it's so bad. I can't decide. But I want to give whatever her name is, credit.
Melissa McIntyre.
So I'm going to say she did it on purpose.
Yeah, it was very awkward.
Oh, wow.
So I have in my notes, I say, Ashley's like, we should fuck. They fuck. Mm-hmm. And afterward.
Well, she says, she's like, well, we only need one bed. And he's like, oh. And she, right. And she's like, if you, you know. Bring something.
He brought something.
And he runs to the drawer and is like, I got like so many fucking condoms and I'm never not going to have one on me for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And that's a funny joke. Like, yeah. Degrassi does that joke a million times where it's like, boy, do you have condoms? And he's like, do I? And it's like a full like of condoms. It's a very funny joke and it never gets old, honestly. So then after they bang, Ashley, remind you all, this is Ashley losing her virginity.
Yeah.
We must remember that.
Mm-hmm.
She's crying.
She cries after.
And she's buttoning up her shirt and like putting her shirt back on. And Craig has checked out.
Craig's like, we could watch this. We could watch this. Yeah. We could watch this. He's flipping through channels.
And she's like having an emotional moment because mm-hmm. this is a crazy moment in her life. That's
the end of her innocence.
It's the end of her innocence. And
she's a real woman now.
Yeah. And Craig notices her crying and he goes, oh, I'm sorry. Whatever I did, I apologize deeply.
Immediately. So I apologize immediately.
and I was like, oh, that's like us. Anytime I'm crying, you're like,
Well, yes. And then he runs to find the right food to give her.
Yes.
Very us as well.
And so then Craig's like, or so then Ashley's like, I'm just overwhelmed. There's so much going on. And she's like, and now I've got this wedding to deal with. And he's like, hey, bring me to everything. And she's like, you know, I can't do that. And he's like, and she's like, it's my dad. And he's like, well, I'm your Craig. Let's run away together. And she's like, and then she's like,
He doesn't start by saying, bring me. He starts yeah. going like, well, don't go.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, well, you're coming with me. Let's do that. And so then mm-hmm. she takes him with her. So then Manny comes to JT and Liberty and they pitch the Degrassi musical to her about a lunch lady named Shelley in the 1980s. And Manny's like, you're kidding. And they're like, no.
And she's like, I'm not fucking doing this.
Yeah. I can never understand what JT is saying in that line. It's like, oh, these hallowed halls of home, I guess, make me wanna, is it die alone? Is that yeah. what he's saying? He's got a weird like H in the middle of it. It's like he's saying die all hone.
It could be dial home.
Dial home. I've never figured out what he's saying there.
I think the first time he says die alone,
mm-hmm.
and then this when he does it in front of Radich later, he sets it up as they just saw E.T. So it's
phone dial home. Dial home,
like yes. E.T. But in this scene, I think he says die alone.
Interesting. Yeah, I've never heard what he's saying there correctly. But yeah, Manny's like, I'm not doing this. And JT's like, yeah, this fucking sucks. And Liberty's like, ugh. And then JT leaves and Manny's like, Liberty, you need to figure out a new show or need to figure something out. Invite JT over, bring him in the hot tub and get inspired. And I'm like, I love how Liberty's hot tub is just like, it's a set piece. Anytime we need to do some hard thinking, we need to have anything with the 10th graders, it's happening in Liberty's hot tub.
It's new this season. Does it continue for a while?
It's new. It was new last season.
In season two?
Three.
We're on four.
In season four.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. yeah, I guess the idea is like, you don't have any good ideas right now, but just
relax.
CJT's nips. You'll come up with something.
Yeah. See JT's nips, see his stack of dimes, and you'll come up with something.
Look at that outline in his trousers and come up with a good idea.
So
if you can find that outline, you can find a good idea.
So then Ashley's dad is at, like, what is this? Like a rehearsal dinner? Rehearsal dinner at a gay bar. Yeah. And so Craig and Ashley go to the gay bar and Toby's talking up Sally. It's a whole, it's fun.
Toby's trying to talk to Sally.
Yeah. And Ashley's trying to convince Kate to give Craig a chance because, okay, I understand the year is 2005, 2004, whatever. Mm-hmm. We cannot expect everybody to be not homophobic. But Ashley says, my dad is getting married tomorrow to a guy, and I'm okay with that. And Kate's like, yeah, your dad is not a cheating 15-year-old boy who got another girl pregnant.
Yes.
He was a cheating adult man.
Right. I think it was not about the gay wedding. I think it was my dad's wedding to another person. What I heard from it was
if she had said that, if she had said, dad, because he did cheat on her mom with Chris.
Yeah.
And if she had said, we're at dad's wedding tomorrow to the person he cheated on you with.
Right.
And you're throwing him a wedding. Like, that would be fine. And that would make way more sense. But instead, Ashley says, dad's getting married tomorrow to a guy, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? Yeah. I don't understand why they couldn't have made that first parallel.
Maybe it's just me being like, I don't think Ashley's homophobic.
She's not. No, like.
But I read it as like, my dad, who used to be married to you, is marrying someone else.
Yes. Ashley's not homophobic.
And it happens to be a man is not like a, like, it's like a, that's a crazy change to life. Not like I wish he wasn't gay.
Right.
Know? She got over that in season one.
I don't know.
Oh.
She's not any more homophobic than she is in this episode at any point.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, like,
I didn't read it as homophobic.
I don't think it's homophobic of Ashley. I think it's homophobic of the writers.
I see what you're saying.
Like, it's like, you guys couldn't have, like, made her be, like, I don't understand why that was a line, just at all.
Okay.
It was just such a weird, like, backhanded thing to say when Ashley's, like, presumably okay with her dad being gay.
Yeah. It just struck me as being more about, like, hey, my life is radically different now.
Yeah.
Not like a... I'm offended by this.
Right, you know? Right.
But yeah, I see what you're saying.
You mean. Yeah. Well, cute. Aww. We understand each other. so then Ashley and Craig are dancing and Toby is and Kate are dancing. And then he goes to try and dance with Sally. And then Kate yoinks him off the screen. It's very funny. And Ashley and Craig are dancing and he says that he just wants to bottle up this moment and get drunk on it for the rest of his life. And then we see the light bulb go up over his head as soon as he said the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And Ashley's like, I love you so much. And then the music changes. And then she's like, ugh. And I wish that didn't happen because, like, it ruined the romantic moment.
Right.
And
he's like, oh, I got to go do something real quick.
Yeah. He's like, wait. I said for the rest of my life, which made me think of rings, which made me think of wedding, which made me think of rings, which made me think of you. I have to go.
She's like, what? You had to poop?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'll be right back.
And so he goes home and gets a suit. He puts on a suit and he's acting very strange. Mm-hmm. And he goes back to the bar to propose to Ashley.
Yeah, he grabs like a little parcel from upstairs that we don't know what it is.
Yes, it's his mom's ring.
Yeah, we find out.
But yeah. And he brings it to Ashley and proposes to her at the bar. And she's like, what? And he's like, marry me. And she's like, no. And he's like, what? Clearly you didn't hear me. Marry me. And she's like, I cannot say yes to this.
And he's like, wait, you don't understand. I want you to marry me.
Yes.
She's like, no, I got that.
I understand.
That's the hard part here.
And so he's pissed. And so then he leaves because he feels very rejected and bad. Mm-hmm. And so then at Liberty's, they're in the hot tub. Danny's snorkeling in the hot tub. Every time we go in the hot tub, I like look at the water and I'm like, how would it feel to be under here? And I'm like, probably not good.
I imagine that hot tub is like the one at my parents where it's like pretty shallow.
Sure, sure.
But I don't know.
So they're trying, they're pitching ideas around and they're not getting anywhere. And Danny's like, you guys suck. And he leaves. And also they throw out that the parents are sleeping. And I'm like, I don't understand why that's important.
Because they could kiss.
They could kiss. Yeah. I was like, is this like a weird, like almost setup for them to like have a romantic moment and then not?
Yeah.
But they didn't. They just ended up coming up with a Mr. Radish diss track.
My parents are sleeping. We can come up with a rap.
we can come up with a diss track. Radishes, radishes, not so sweet, red and round, gross to eat.
Yeah, maybe try again.
They've got mean, cruel little voices. I run to grassy. You have no choices.
It's so bad. I understand that like the writers are trying to write for teens who are bad.
Yes.
But Jesus Christ.
It was very bad. And I guess a political statement doesn't necessarily have to be good.
I guess.
Like that Eurovision podcast we were listening to last night.
That's true. Yeah. Some of those were terrible.
Some of those were really bad. And so then we go back to the bar and Ashley's like shell-shocked by what just happened. And Sally's like, what's wrong?
Are you okay?
What's wrong, Ashley? Are you okay? And Ashley's like, I don't know. And then she's like, did Craig break up with you? And Ashley's like, actually the exact opposite of that. and Sally's like, what do you mean? And she explains it. He proposed. And Sally, a crazy person, isn't like, oh yeah, like you did the right thing by rejecting him. You're 16 and have such a life ahead of you. You're 100% correct. She instead is like, why would you say no?
Don't you love him? And Ashley's like, oh yeah, I do.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I guess that was what I was forgetting in that moment.
It's so stupid.
It's very stupid.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's nice to have an aunt and all, but some aunts are dumb fucks. Are
dumb. And so then we go to, so then we go back to the hotel room.
Right, because Ashley calls him.
Right, and he's not picking up because he can't hear the phone over the sounds of the heavy metal music playing while he wrecks the hotel room.
He breaks everything.
Every single thing in that room. He is throwing the TV. He's smashing the bed. He's smashing the desks. He's the so
paintings,
the paintings. He's just so angry in this moment that he's been rejected. And that's where the first episode ends. So then
part two,
Voices Carry part two. We come to the aftermath of Craig trashing the hotel room and he finally answers the phone the next morning and he's like, hello. And Ashley's like, hey. And he's like, oh, you're being so nice to me now when last night you broke my heart, shattered it into a million pieces. You remember? And she's like, well, I was like shocked. And she's like, I would like to marry you someday. And he's like, oh, so it's us. So your answer is someday. And she's like, no, my answer is yes, because she's insane.
Mm-hmm.
She's crazy. Why would she do that?
Well, I think her intention was to be like, yes, down the line after we date for a while.
For sure. Yeah.
Which is not actually crazy. Like I mean, it's irresponsible, but that's what teenagers do.
Sure, sure.
You feel love so hard at that age.
Yeah, me finding out that my parents first got engaged when they were 19, I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I learned this over Christmas.
Yeah, your mom's basically Ashley Kerwin. Interesting.
Interesting. Mm. I can't unpack that today. I've already had a very intense therapy session. but yeah, she basically tells him yes. And we see the switch flip immediately in his face. He's like, he goes from being sad, depressed, low, down, have just wrecked an entire hotel room to being on top of the world again. Mm-hmm. So then he meets up with Marco at the Dot, who's still mad at him for the recording session thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Marco's like, what do you need? You sounded desperate and that's the only reason I'm here. And Craig's like, I'm going to Ashley's dad's wedding and I need a suit. And Marco's like, so, and Craig's like, you're gay. Come buy a suit.
Yeah. Help me, dude. I can't pick one on my own.
Yeah. And so they do the...
It's a gay wedding. I need a gay suit.
Yeah. And then they do the classic, like... My dad said this is only for emergencies, and this is an emergency, except he doesn't say that.
Yeah.
But it's basically what, like, Marco's like, how much money are we working with? And Craig's like, what is he saying? Like, platinum gold.
Pure gold. Pure gold, baby.
And
because the credit card is gold.
Yes. And so then we get a fun little shopping montage. Mm-hmm. Can you believe that in an episode that deals with extreme mental illness and mm-hmm. where a kid trashes a hotel room and punches his dad in the face multiple times, we also Spoiler. Got a fun shopping montage?
Yeah, I honestly forgot about the shopping montage until we got here.
I can't forget about the shopping montage because after it happens and Craig gets the suit and he goes to leave the mall, Dylan is there for no reason.
None.
Other than to walk up to Marco and say, hey, Marco. And Craig looks at Marco and goes, I'm so happy the gays can get married. You two can get married. You gays. You know, if you ever wanted to. It's possibly one of my favorite Craig lines. It's funny.
It's really good. And it is the only point in this episode or this like series of episodes where the fact that it's a gay wedding is like not just like, oh yeah, it just is.
Yes.
It's the only time in the whole thing where yes. they're like, gay marriage is great, right?
Yes.
Which I think if they just took this line out, it would be very cool television where it's like, oh, in the early 2000s gay marriage just existed on screen.
Sure.
It wasn't like a thing, but they had to make it a thing.
Yeah, they had to make it a thing, and it had to be part of a manic episode.
Yes, yes.
So that him saying it so blatantly didn't seem completely out of left field.
True.
Very funny. You two can get married. You gays.
These gays are trying to get married.
Do you know these gays? They're trying to marry. when we were in Mexico and we were at an all-inclusive resort, we just made White Lotus jokes to each other the entire time.
The whole time. It's so good.
So good. So then JT and Liberty give the cast of Dracula the diss track, who they're all really excited to be doing Dracula.
They're so stoked.
Yeah, but they give them
they're like unreasonably stoked.
Yeah, like Alex is really excited for Dracula for some reason. Frickin' Bertram is like, because he's playing Dracula, so mm-hmm. he's like giving his soliloquy and he's like, oh, I can't get my lines.
I've honestly never seen Bertram so excited before.
Well, that's because we've never seen him.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a spoiler, but this isn't the last we're seeing of him.
Oh, does he get a name?
Yes.
Oh.
I don't remember what it is, but he does get one. Sure. and they hand the cast copies of the Radish song. Mm-hmm. And they're all like, yo, we are not committing treason on this stage. Give us Dracula or give us death. And then they all walk. And even Manny walks in her crazy high-heeled flip-flops. Did you see those? Yeah. They were wild.
Can you do the Emma line?
Oh. It was earlier in the episode. It wasn't this part. It was when they were all like doing a scene from Dracula. And Emma goes, this is good, Liberty. No, it's great.
Yeah, that was
it. Yeah.
You acted it better than she did.
I know. It's impossible to do it that bad. And
this was good, Liberty. No, great. No,
nope.
No,
this is good, Liberty. No, great.
That's closer.
Yeah, that is closer. But then, yeah, the cast is like, we're not doing this. And they all walk. Mm-hmm. And JT is like, and JT and Liberty are like, we don't know what to fucking do.
And look, I understand that JT and Liberty feel betrayed right in this moment, and that like the cast basically is not standing in solidarity with mm-hmm. the movement, which sucks. But like, if you got asked to read that diss track, how in your life could you do it? It's so bad.
It's very bad.
It's so
very bad.
Like if they had at least been like a little bit clever and funny, I bet they would have done it.
They call Mr. Radish, Mr. Radish. I think that's very clever and funny.
Radishes. Ugh, fuck you.
So then Craig is in the elevator at the hotel because he's going to go get changed into his new suit. And he's being wild and in the elevator talking to a man. And he's like, oh, you like my suit?
This man is just trying to go up to his room in the elevator. And he's like, this kid is talking to me like a crazy person.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you, well, you like my suit? My girlfriend's getting my girlfriend's dad is getting married to another man. Yeah, it's cool.
I'm going to my girlfriend's wedding. I mean, it's not her wedding; it's her dad's wedding to a man, not to another man. To another man. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he starts to get out at his floor, and then he sees the hotel staff like investigating his room, which has been absolutely wrecked. And he runs back into the elevator. He's like, oops, silly me, wrong floor.
And the guy in the elevator is just like, oh no.
And so then
he doesn't get any lines.
Yes, he's very funny. Elevator guy, just lots of face acting. So then Craig goes to the hospital to go get changed at the hospital because he has nowhere else to go get changed because he can't go home because he has Joey's credit card and he can't go to the hotel because he's wrecked the hotel, and so the only place he can go is Jimmy's hospital room. And he shows up and he starts getting dressed in the room, and Jimmy's like, are you doing?
He says, Jimmy, where's your bathroom? And Jimmy's like, it's like a whole bag situation, man. I don't have one. I would explain it to you, but I'm eating.
Yes. It's very funny. But yeah, and Craig starts getting changed in there, and he tells Jimmy that he proposed to Ashley, and Jimmy's like, what? He's like, what is wrong with you? And he clearly sees that something is up.
And I said out loud, finally, a voice of reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Jimmy's like, dude. And he's like the only person who seems to be seeing that there is something really not right with Craig right now. But alas, what can he do? Craig walks out of there and goes to the wedding.
Well, it's a whole thing where Craig is like, can't you just be happy for me? And Jimmy's like, no.
No.
You're being fucking stupid.
Yeah, you're being crazy right now.
Yeah.
And so then at the wedding, I need to know from somebody, from perspective of somebody who has not seen this episode or did not at the time.
I still haven't.
From the perspective of somebody who did not see this episode before.
Yeah.
How was your anxiety level starting at the moment that we see Ashley's dad at the altar, knowing that something was going to happen?
Oh, yeah.
How was your anxiety level at this moment?
I mean, through most of this episode, I was like, oh, fucking hell. God damn it. No, no. Oh, no. Stop. No, stop. No, no. Please, somebody notice. Oh, fuck. There, finally, a voice of reason. Oh, fuck, no. Yeah. Oh, damn it.
Because
so pretty hot.
Yeah. The moment that we're actually at the wedding, and I can't remember what Ashley's dad's name is. Fuck. Robert?
That sounds right.
Robert and Chris are getting married, and they're giving their vows and stuff, and the lesbian officiant.
Hey, now.
You're
she
telling
just
me?
Just had a bad haircut. You're
She's definitely a lesbian. There's no way she wasn't.
Yeah, all officiants are lesbians.
So true. Kayla was, she just officiated a wedding.
Yeah. Although the officiant at the wedding we were just at, I don't believe this, but
right,
I could be wrong.
You could be wrong.
I don't know what that dog do.
But yeah, the officiant is going on, and as someone who had seen the episode millions of times, I couldn't remember when Craig goes off. So my anxiety level was also high because I was like, I know what's about to come. I couldn't remember if it was during the ceremony or during the reception. So I was like, and then finally they kissed and I was like, okay, nothing bad is happening.
Well,
yet
I mean, Ashley mouthed I love you to
like
Craig
a crazy
from
person
the altar.
Yeah,
because she's up there as a groomsman.
She's the maid of honor,
right?
Yeah.
crazy.
She's like, Craig's like,
but he was like on edge, like he was gonna do something, and then I don't know what, but then she did that, and he was like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
ooh, yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
And that's where this plot line is a little problematic to me, because they really they don't say it out loud, but the implication here is that Ashley's existence is meant to ground him and save him. And that's fucked up.
Oh, it for sure happens later.
Yeah.
And I mean, to an extent, a person going through a crisis does need grounding people around
right.
him. But it the way that it is done in this episode is not like like Jimmy doesn't have that effect.
Right. You know? Right. It's
Joey
just
Joey doesn't have that
and
effect.
It, it's and it's only not even Ashley. Exactly. And it's not even Ashley like doing anything. It's mm-hmm. just her being there.
Right.
Like we'll see later in the episode that like her just showing up in front of his eyes like calms him down like fucking mm-hmm. King Kong. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, that's where this plot line is kind of problematic to me, because it's like it puts a lot of pressure on Ashley.
Yeah, totally. That's a really good point. And I think it's like it is true that people need people they can rely on, but it's mm-hmm. not true that any one person can do it all.
Yeah, and it's not true that that person can just like that person has to be a willing participant.
Totally.
In it. It totally. Can't be like you can't just be like a stuffed animal. Yeah. You can't just have a comfort person. That's not how life is.
In a way it's like Rick and Emma.
Yeah, for sure.
Where like yeah, where you know, obviously Rick like if Emma had accepted Rick in the way that Ashley is accepting Craig right now, maybe Rick doesn't do that, but that's not fair to Emma. I'm
exactly.
not saying she was wrong in any way. It's just yeah.
Exactly. So then at Joey's he can't pay for the dinner that just arrived because his card is missing, and he realizes, ah, oh, fuck, Craig took my card. Mm-hmm. And Snake and Spike are there helping them paint, and Snake's like, oh, Craig took your card, huh? Yeah, I've been concerned about him. And Joey's like, yeah, I'm concerned about him too. I'm concerned about that ass that I'm going to kick because he took my credit yeah. card. And Snake's like, no, like he seems to be going through something. And then Snake makes the mistake of asking about Craig's dad
yeah.
and being like, he wasn't the most stable guy, right? And Joey's like, whoa, are you trying to say that my son is crazy like his dad? Like, why would you do that? Mm-hmm. Don't. There's nothing wrong with Craig that a good grounding can't fix.
Meanwhile, the phone is ringing because there's something fucking wrong with Craig.
And literally immediately after, it's honestly comical.
It's well
very
done.
Funny.
Yeah.
He goes, nothing's wrong with Craig that a good grounding can't fix. Caitlin on the phone. Joey, phone for you. And he's like, what? How many dollars in damages?
My hotel room. yeah. And listen, I don't know if this is fair, but if Snake was worried about Craig before, why didn't he say something before?
I mean,
it's not necessarily fair, but Snake is somebody who's in that kid's life from like day one.
He is also a mandated reporter.
Who noticed a problem and was like, I guess, I mean, maybe I'll see his dad later.
Well, I think, because Joey did say that the school called about Craig skipping class.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't call about him mouthing off to
right,
Snake.
If they had mentioned that, which, I mean, I guess, do we blame Radich?
Yeah, I don't know.
Radich is notoriously not good at dealing with kids' problems.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't know if, because I'm like, Snake,
the public school system is failing our kids.
Yeah, I don't know what it would have been right for Snake to do, because it's like maybe he just looked and was like, maybe he's having a bad day, you know? And
I mean,
and it's one of those things about this show where it's like they don't really sometimes show all of the instances that should lead up to this. It's kind of like a Snake saw something one time and then suddenly has like all these assumptions about Craig's
mm-hmm,
life
mm-hmm.
where it's like in a realistic situation, it would have taken a few instances for a teacher to see this.
Yeah. But I do think it's realistic for Snake specifically to notice, because he's best friends with Joey. He's
right.
known Craig, not just in school.
Like, right.
I think it, to me, like early on in the first half of these episodes, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, we're doing bipolar. And Snake, if I can recognize that, I guess it's being presented to me.
Right.
So it's easier, obviously, from the viewer of the TV show role than it is from the teacher in the school role.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if I can see it and he can see it, he should be saying something.
Right. Right. I understand. And so, yeah. And then at the reception, this is when it all hits the fan. And honestly, I've seen this episode so many times, and yet it doesn't get any easier.
No.
It never gets any easier.
Mm-mm.
It never gets any easier. And so Kate gives a speech about Robert and her and their relationship and their marriage and why it ended and stuff. And it's funny and cute. Mm-hmm. And then she like points Ashley out and she's like, our beautiful daughter, Ashley, something. And she goes, stand up, Ashley. I don't know why she did that. She's like, stand up, Ashley. And Ashley stands up. And then Craig stands up. And Ashley goes to sit down. And then Craig stays standing up. And she's like, what are you doing? So what were you going to say?
Well, it's even better than that because Ashley stands up and sits down. And then Craig stands up. And Ashley's like, okay, I'll stand with you. Mm-hmm. Let's sit. And Craig's mm-hmm. like, nah, I got stuff to say.
Yeah. And Craig is like, I have to give a speech. And Kate's like, what? And he starts talking about Ashley. And Kate's like, is there a toast in this, Craig? And he's like, Ashley and I are engaged. And it's like, oh my God.
Ashley immediately hands and face. Yes. And face and hands. Just, oh fuck.
Oh my God. And so then she chases him out of the tent. And she's like,
before he leaves the tent, he is so oblivious to the fact that everybody in the room is like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah. He's everyone's like beaming. Appalled.
He's like, I did good, right? And everybody's yeah. like, absolutely not. And he has no clue.
Yeah.
Which I think that part, the acting gets right.
Yes, for sure. And she chases him out of the tent and she's like, why would you do that? And he's like, what? And she's like, you thought it was a great idea to tell everybody that we're going to get married at my dad's wedding? And he's like, yes. And she's like, you need to go home. I don't want to marry you anymore. And he's like, what? And she's like, get out of here, Craig. And he's like, I don't know. And she's like, go. And he does.
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. He goes back into the reception.
He's like, okay, there's one thing I've got to do first. Yes. And she's like, that's the wrong direction. You're going the wrong direction.
Yes, she's like, that's not home, Craig. And he walks back into the tent and he goes to talk to her parents, all three of them. Mm-hmm. And he is talking to Kate and talking to Chris and talking to Robert. And they're all like, what the fuck? What's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. And they're like, Craig, maybe you should go home. And mm-hmm. Kate's like, Ashley, can you please get Craig to take some air, get some air mm-hmm. outside? And she's like, I'm trying. And then Chris is like, hey, maybe we can, you know, talk about this another time. And Craig's like, no. And then Chris starts to like escort him out. Mm-hmm. And Craig like pushes against him. And then Craig ends up falling over
he's trying to get out of Chris's grip.
Yes.
And pushes himself out of it right onto a table.
Yes. And he falls onto a table and everybody's like, whoa.
Ruining the new very expensive suit, by the way.
Yeah. And
with all that wine he spilled on it.
Truly. And he like looks around and everybody's like, what is going on? And then Craig gets up and storms out. So then we're at school and it's crazy. Like after that scene, it's like such whiplash to go back to the school musical plot line.
I kind of loved it.
It was like whoa.
Yeah. I usually, I don't know. I think in previous episodes I've been like, I wish they would like not have such a stupid plot next to such a serious mm-hmm. one, but this one it works.
This one it does kind of work.
Yeah.
Because we really need that tension breaker.
God, I needed a break. Yeah.
Like it was just like, that scene is just nails on a chalkboard. Mm-hmm. You can't, the secondhand embarrassment is too much. Mm-hmm. But then we go to JT and Liberty presenting their pitch for the musical to Radich. And Liberty is excited because they're about to stick it to the man. They're going to make a statement.
They're going to sing their Radich song.
With their Radich song, their diss track. And JT bitches out.
Yeah.
He chickens out. Which, like, JT from season 2 never would have done that.
Absolutely not. JT from season 2 was the ringleader.
Exactly.
Yeah.
JT from season 2 spent every day in Radich's office. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm... but maybe this is just growth. Maybe this is him like, you know, that past is behind me.
Maybe his experience with Manny, he was like, I need to be the mature guy if I'm going to get a girl.
Maybe. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That would make sense. Yeah, he's like, wow. He got like...
Let me tell you firsthand, you don't got to mature for shit.
Okay. So
says a homeowner.
Yeah, says a homeowner with a really good job. So he goes rogue and Liberty's playing the piano and he starts singing the lunch lady song and Liberty's like, that's not the words. And he's like, he at first like sets it up like 1980, yeah. Whatever.
It's 1980. We've just watched E.T.
There's
We're a lunch lady.
Lunch lady. And Liberty's like, that's not the setup. And he's like, just follow me. And so then he starts singing and she's like, those aren't the words. Mm-hmm. And she's pissed because she thought that they were in this with
radishes.
Her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then she gets up and she's like, radishes, not so sweet, red and round, gross to eat. And then she goes and sings the rest in Radish's face or speaks the rest in Radish's face.
And then storms out.
And JT's like, and Radish is like, wow, great musical. You both have detention. Because his little ego is real hurt by that. He's like, wow, these little kids, little bitches, why would they do this to me?
And look, I mean, it does show you the power of standing together. Because if they had all done it together, I think Radish would have learned a lesson.
Sure.
But Liberty just getting in his face, that's just going to piss him off.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, what were you going to say?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, Liberty is, you know, such a good girl. Like, she's always the best person at school. And so for her to, like, truly rebel must have meant way more to Radish than if, like, say JT would have done it or someone else.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so it probably hurt him more because he's like, this is my star student who I always thought I could depend on. Mm-hmm. And if she thinks this about me, like, fuck her.
and we talked briefly about Radish's like arc from previous seasons. I don't know, but like, it struck me as odd that he wouldn't hear the message at all.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he seems like, especially, I don't know, especially following how things went with Rick, it seems like he should be receptive to
criticism.
But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he's not.
No, he's not.
And so, yeah, he gives them detention. Even JT, who didn't sing the song, but clearly wrote it.
I don't think he did. He's funnier than that.
Yeah. Liberty did come up with most of it. So Ashley's sobbing at the wedding and Craig's trying to call her, but she won't answer. Mm-hmm. And then Craig's having a breakdown at the payphone, trying to call her and she won't answer. And he's screaming and crying and punching the payphone.
Beating up the payphone.
And so then he shows up at home.
If I can't call Ashley, no one can.
He shows up at home and he's like totally like in his own head. And Caitlin is like, where have you been? Oh, my God, your hand. I'm going to help you. 1 second. And Caitlin's so sweet. But I would be like confronting him immediately.
Yeah.
It's like, because she's like, Joey's been looking all over for you. What happened to your hand? She's like too calm. I would be like, dude, you stole your dad's credit card and now you're showing up with like bruises and bleeding and in a crazy expensive suit. You are, you're so grounded.
or like, are you okay?
Are you
like,
okay? Yeah.
Like anything other than just like, huh, seems like a weird day.
Yes. Yeah. Caitlin is too calm.
And she's another character. Her in this episode is another one where I'm like, all she's doing is serving the plot. This is not at all driven by who she is.
And would you believe, I will tell you this, Caitlin from this day forward, that's Caitlin.
She's just mom?
She's not just mom. No. But she does kind of, there comes the moment in season 6 where certain characters are suddenly these like, oh no, it already happened to Caitlin. Mm. Caitlin was once badass, you know, working woman, environmentalist lady. Mm-hmm. As soon as the Joey love plot came in, she's a quirky little rom-com lady.
Oh, shit.
And then, so now that she and Joey are together, she just fills the role of mom. Mm-hmm. And she does not, she doesn't really get back to the badass, like.
Do we ever even see her at work again?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
At least a little bit.
Yeah, she's definitely working.
Interesting.
I just thought of a funny plot line that happens later down the line.
Okay.
That the listener knows. And it does involve Caitlin's work. But it also perfectly exemplifies what I'm saying right now.
That's just.
What? Yeah, yeah.
It's disappointing.
Yeah, I love Caitlyn, but not like this. Because, yeah, she does kind of lose a bit of her pizzazz now that she and Joey are together. And then, yeah, it's just a whole thing.
Okay.
So then, Caitlyn goes to call Joey and get Craig some, like, ice for his hand. Mm-hmm. And Craig goes up to Angie and he hands her their mom's ring. And he's like, can you give this to Ashley? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, I'm going to go upstairs. So he goes upstairs. He gets changed. Mm-hmm. And so then Joey shows up at the wedding. And he's like, Ashley, where's Craig? And she's like, I don't fucking know. He left. And he's like, I know about the hotel room. And Ashley's like, oh, great. As if this day couldn't get any worse. Yeah. Now everyone knows she's not a virgin anymore.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true.
That's
the implication.
That's the implication.
Sure. Yeah.
He's like, I know about the hotel room. And her mom's like, the what? And she's like, great. Is this the day couldn't get any worse? Mm-hmm. And Joey's like, what I want to know is why you trashed it. That's what I don't understand. And Ashley's like, what? We didn't trash it. And she's like, Craig must have done it last night after he proposed. And Joey's like, proposed? And Kate's like, yeah, like your son has some problems. And Joey like looks around and he goes, what's happening to my son? As if they did this to him.
Yeah. What did you do to my son?
Yeah.
Fucked him.
Yeah.
Pretty much it.
Sorry, man.
My bad, dude. I didn't know putting his penis in here would fuck him up so bad.
And so everyone's confused at this point. Mm-hmm. And Craig comes downstairs. He's changed his clothes. He's taken a shower or whatever. And he gives Caitlyn an envelope. And she's like, what is this? And he's like, it's a check. Or what does she say it is?
I don't know.
He comes up and she's like, we know you stole the credit card, Craig.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's a check. $3,000. It's all I have. And Joey's card is in there too. And she's like, what is going on? And so he's about to like
kill himself.
Run away.
Yeah, maybe.
I think he was going to run away because he didn't know where he was going. Because she asks him
where he's going and he's like, Marcos.
The wedding. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he was planning to run away.
Okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
I read it as like, especially giving the ring. I was like, oh, he is killing himself.
Maybe.
That's what I thought was happening.
Yeah. And so he starts to leave, but then Joey shows up and Craig is like, uh-oh. And he goes to like leave. And Joey's like, no, we need to talk. And so he puts his hands on Craig's shoulders. And of course, bad idea, because now Craig has pushed Joey against a wall. And Joey's like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And Craig gets Joey on the ground and just starts wailing on him, beating the shit out of his own father. Mm-hmm. And the moment that Craig has Joey against the wall is when you realize how wild their like height difference is. Mm-hmm. Like Craig's like 6 feet, probably more. And Joey's like,
yeah,
5'6".
Yeah.
And he's got this tiny little man pinned up against the wall and he just starts beating him up. Mm-hmm. Beating him up. And it's really sad. And Angie's crying. And Caitlin's like, Craig, stop. Stop. Mm-hmm. And so Ashley shows up.
She just walks in the door.
She probably followed Joey
or went with him. For sure.
And she shows up and she's like, Craig. And then this is what I was saying earlier, is that just seeing her snaps him out of it. He looks up at her and he's like, you came back. And she didn't even say like, Craig, I forgive you.
Right. No.
All she did was be there. And he's like, you came back. And she's like, yeah.
And immediately he starts trying to kiss her.
Yes. And she's like, you need help. You need help. And he's like, what? And
she's like, everything I did, you came back. And she's like, well, yeah, but like fucking chill for a second. Bro.
Yeah. And then he looks around and he sees what he did to Joey and he realizes, oh my God, I'm something's wrong. Mm-hmm. That's when he really realizes it. Mm-hmm. And so then we're in detention and Liberty and JT are talking and she's like, I can't believe I did that. And JT's like, well, what you did was pretty badass. Like, that took some guts, and you really are brilliant. And he's like, I can't believe that you like did that. Like you did something so gutsy. And she's like, you know what? I wish I had the guts to do. And she kisses him. Mm-hmm. And she kisses him. And she's like, I've crushed on you for how long? Four years. For 4 years. And then he gives a little smile, and then he kisses her. Honestly, that kiss is maybe one of my favorite kisses on the show. Mm. The second one, when JT goes back in. Mm. It's really sweet. When I was a kid, it was kind of hot to me, weirdly. Now I'm an adult and it's not. But I remember being like, when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just thought it was so sweet. And now that marks the beginning of Jibberty. Woo! Honestly, this is a tiny little... Remember we were talking about like summits of the show? Like...
Yeah.
This is a tiny little summit for me.
Okay.
Because there's something about JT and Liberty that just makes my heart do the thing.
Yeah, the show's been really teasing them for a long time.
Yes. How do you feel?
This version of JT, I guess it works.
Yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was too cool for her for a long time.
Yeah, he was. And also, I think she's gotten a bit cooler, too. Yeah, kind of.
I mean, she's more like normal. Self-aware. Yeah, yeah.
She's just gotten a little bit more normal. Mm-hmm. She hasn't said, what did she say to Chris earlier this season? Where she's like, I've been meaning to broaden my horizons, to broaden my knowledge of popular music.
Yeah.
Oh, also, two Chrises. They named Chris the DJ, and then Ashley's stepdad is also Chris.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Christopher. I remember when he was first introduced, his name was Christopher, and then they just started calling him Chris.
But yeah, Liberty, I think, like, she had, like, full-length human sentences in this episode.
Yeah.
And for a while, she was just the, like, I say weird nerd thing.
Yeah. So now she's, this really does kind of mark the beginning of Liberty as, like, a full fleshed-out character, which is nice.
Yeah.
I
think it was really cute. I think the way that this episode handled JT and Liberty was really good.
Yeah.
I think the arc of JT is really disappointing.
Yes.
And
it, I will say, like, he doesn't just abandon who he used to be. Like, I'm not saying that...
It's not a complete shift.
Yes.
But it is a shift.
Yeah. And, like, he's not... like we said, like, he remains... He does... I will say, the lovable scamp is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain aspects of him that do get revived, like, after this kind of weird blip.
I just... The days of JT and Toby being fun weirdos are gone.
Yeah, a little bit.
And they were my favorite part of the show.
I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Like, I honestly, the penis pump episode might have really been the end of the, like, wild, wacky misadventures that they have.
Yeah. It's amazing how many things a penis pump can end.
A relationship, a character arc. So then, Jibberty's together, and I'm so excited. At the hospital, Craig is sad. Or is he at a hospital, a mental hospital?
It's unclear.
Yeah, wherever he is. It honestly looks like the same set as the hotel.
Mm-hmm. I think it's supposed to be a mental facility.
Yeah. He's sad about being bipolar, but Ashley's like, no, like, you just are sick. And he's like, but if I'm sick, then I'm going to have to manage this for the rest of my life. Medication, doctors, shrinks. And she's like, yeah, and
he's like, you should go.
Yeah, he tries to be like, you should break up with me. I wouldn't blame you if you wanted to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I don't want to leave. And he's like, well, I don't get it, but okay, cool. And
he lays down, and then she gets into bed with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, where the fuck is your dad?
Yeah.
Why? Look, you and Ashley, great. Fine. Why is nobody else there supporting you? This is insane.
I mean, it's one scene.
Is it, though? Because it's yeah. But it's like, dude just got checked into a mental hospital.
He didn't just get checked in there. Well, he did. But
the
I'm
scene
sure
could have taken place after many hours. I don't know.
Yes, I'm sure Joey was there.
To me, the first thing we see of him in the mental hospital should not be him and Ashley. Sorry.
I think just to save some time, the Joey being there is implied. Mm. Also, maybe Joey doesn't want to fucking look at the kid who beat his ass.
Yeah, I guess Joey might be in a different hospital. And Caitlin and the, what's her name, decided to go with Joey.
Yeah, and Angie.
Yeah. Angie's like, I don't want to see that fuck.
Yeah, he beat my dad up.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, and so that's where the episode ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really excited to see how you felt about this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I really wasn't expecting to get the visceral secondhand embarrassment that... Like, it's as if I've watched it for the first time again. Mm. I was like, oh no. This episode is rough. But ultimately good, in my opinion. I do really like these episodes. Honestly, this is an interesting, because like Degrassi does tackle bipolar disorder with another character way later on down the line.
Mm.
And I think I'll always prefer this one. Like, this is such a good, not even good, like it is good, but also it's just like it's an interesting look at bipolar disorder, mm-hmm. especially at a time where it really wasn't looked at, like mm-hmm. I can imagine too, like even I'm thinking of like media from that time, even like recent years trying to portray people with bipolar disorder always feels really wrong,
mm-hmm.
like it never feels like they're getting it right, and this always kind of felt like this seems very true to what the experience might be,
mm-hmm.
At least from somebody like Craig's perspective. Yeah, I really like these episodes. How'd you feel?
Well, like I said earlier, I think the writing really hit it. Mm-hmm. And I think it was really hard to watch.
Yes.
And I hope I never see it again.
Yeah.
But that's because it did its job well.
Yes, for sure.
As is often the case when Degrassi handles something heavy, I'm like, I just wish the acting was a little better.
Yeah.
But I see what they're hitting with the writing, and I think mm-hmm. I've had problems with the writing on heavy topics in other episodes, but this one I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
I like the balance with the JT Liberty storyline. I think it was the right mix.
Mm-hmm.
I even like they threw comedy into the main story too, especially with Toby being a dumb shit, which is fun.
You guys can get married. The best line in the episode is the funniest line in the episode, and mm-hmm. it is something that like there are many instances where we can laugh with Craig.
Mm-hmm.
Like we are laughing at him a little bit, but he's also laughing at himself in these like really high moments.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like we're laughing with Craig.
I mean, he's seeking the high of emotion.
And yeah.
In that moment, it's joy. Yeah. So of course we're sharing the joy.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, what would you rate this episode?
Jeez. I mean, it's hard to rate because I'm like, I have respect for it, but I really like on
you
the one hand,
enjoy yourself.
No, I had such a bad time. I had such a bad time, yeah. But that's what they were going for.
I know.
I'm like, I want to give it credit, but I also can't say I loved it.
Right.
So, but I'm also like, it's like, this is one of the best written episodes of Degrassi I've seen.
Yeah.
I think, so it's hard for me to grade it overall because I don't want to give it a high mark, but I feel like I have to.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, because I'm only allowed to give it one grade and I can't break it down into like, writing versus experience.
Yeah.
I'll give it 3.75.
Oh my god.
little hospital pull-up handles.
Okay. 3.75. I think that's a good rating because it is like I understand why it's not quite a 4,
yeah.
And I also understand why it's not quite a 3.5.
Yeah.
So I get it.
And I'm also trying to think in relation to other episodes I've given high mm-hmm. ratings to. I'm like, yeah, it just can't be a 4, but but it's not on the same par as ones I've given 3s.
Right,
so.
Right. Yeah, I will go ahead and give it a 4. I'm going to give it 4 out of 5. Oh, there's so many options to choose. Trashed hotel rooms. I think that has to be the one.
Mm-hmm.
4 out of 5 destroyed. $4,000 out of $5,000 in damages to hotel rooms.
That's good.
Yeah. God. Yeah, I love these episodes. Like you said, it's such a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a bad time, but it does exactly what it sets out to do. Mm-hmm. 'Cause even looking at it now from an adult standpoint, as somebody who has experienced some pretty high highs and some pretty low lows in the mm-hmm. last 2 years, even the parts that were funny to me when I was a teenager, they're less funny now.
Mm-hmm.
Like the elevator scene.
Mm-hmm.
I remember looking at that scene, like maybe even in 2020, and being like, oh my God, Craig. Mm-hmm. And this time I was like that, but also cringing. I was also really, yeah. really uncomfortable and feeling terrible.
That's really interesting. I feel like, yeah, with less experience with the bipolar disorder, mm-hmm. you see that scene through Craig,
mm-hmm.
and with more experience through it, you see it through the guy.
Yes,
in the elevator, and you're like, oh my God, this fucking guy, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, it's so uncomfortable. But yeah, so where do you think this plot's gonna go for Craig?
Ashley,
I guess.
Yeah, I think they'll stay together for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Probably for a while. Like, if Ashley is a decent person, and as much as we shit on her, I do think she's a good person.
Yeah.
I don't think she would leave Craig anytime soon. So I imagine the, like, Craig and Jimmy recuperating together thing is going to be interesting.
Oh.
I don't know if we'll actually, like, see it directly. Like, they're not going to, like, go to rehab together.
Right.
But because they're obviously doing different things. But, like, I think that parallel will be interesting.
You know what's funny? You said that Craig and Jimmy, like, rehabilitating together might be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't tell you if that's right or wrong.
Okay.
But in season 5... Craig does rehabilitate with somebody, like together. And I just find that so funny that you said that. And I hope the listener knows what I'm talking about, because it is kind of like a small plot line. But,
you know, another interesting thing that makes me think of is, like, all of our main dudes that we've been dealing with,
mm-hmm.
except Spinner, but he's his own brand of weirdo. All of our main dudes are like, hey, we can't be at school right now.
What do you mean?
Sean.
Oh,
Jimmy,
yeah.
And Craig are all, like, dealing with their shit elsewhere right now.
Well, yeah. Craig comes back to school pretty quickly.
Oh, really?
I don't think he is, like, institutionalized.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I assumed.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, that is funny. The next episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lighter one. Thank God. And it's not a two-parter.
Okay, good.
But the episode after that is a two-parter.
Aww.
Sorry. but the next
episode...
Good thing
you live here now. We have more time for this.
Yeah. is season 4, episode 13. And it is called Bark at the Moon.
Okay.
And the main plot is... the main player is Manny.
Okay. Manny gets a dog.
Okay.
And this dog doesn't look like other dogs, but she's convinced it's a dog. And it lives in a pile of stuffed animals on her floor.
Mm-hmm.
And it hides there anytime anyone else is around. And it loves M&Ms. It, like, loves M&Ms so much. And then at the end, as the episode progresses, and Manny's like, well, isn't this cool? I've got this dog. And everybody's like, that's a fucking alien. Eventually, Manny finally confronts the dog and is like, poodles. She named it Poodles.
Mm-hmm.
Poodles, are you an alien? And it says, Poodles phone home.
Mm-hmm.
And it asks her for a ride home. And it's like, can you please Poodle's phone home, meaning, can you please give me a ride to the moon on a bicycle?
Mm-hmm. Now, my question is, mm-hmm. how did she not realize it wasn't a dog when she was feeding it chocolate and it didn't die?
Listen, Manny's dumb.
So true. So true. Would you like a hint?
Yeah.
Okay. God, this season four, kind of bad at naming the episodes because none of these ever have to do with what's going on.
That's really annoying. Really hard to make predictions.
Yeah. It was fun in seasons one and two when they were kind of, they made sense.
Yeah.
This season's running out of ideas. I can't even think of how Bark at the Moon, like, I guess the moon, it's focused around a school dance.
Okay.
So I'm assuming like the moon, meaning like a nighttime dance.
Okay.
So like, I guess. Okay. And as you know, my favorite singer is Justin Ozuka.
Yeah.
He has been on this show before.
Really?
Yes. He's been on Degrassi and those are completely unrelated instances. I fell in love with Justin Ozuka before I fell in love with Degrassi.
Oh, okay.
And then I found out he and his brothers were on it.
When you say he's been on the show before, you mean before this episode?
No, I mean after this episode.
Okay, okay.
But in Bark at the Moon, mm-hmm. not Justin Ozuka, his brother Philip Ozuka mm-hmm. plays a new character. And that character is kind of important in this episode. But he is okay. only a day player.
Okay. Okay. I think.
And remember, Manny's
the main player.
Player.
And can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Does any of this Craig shit come up?
No.
Okay. So Manny's the main player. They're having a dance and it's a girl ass guy dance.
Okay.
And Manny, she hasn't like found a guy really recently. Like, mm-hmm. cause her and Spinner's not really a thing. Mm-hmm. Oh no, wait. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm sticking with it's girl ass guy dance.
Mm-hmm.
Spinner wants her to ask him, but she sees Justin Ozuka's brother and okay. is like, damn, that guy's brother can play guitar.
mm-hmm.
And she wants to go to the dance with him. So then it's kind of like a little love triangle situation.
Okay. Okay. Good guess.
Thank you.
Do you want to know about the B plot?
It's not. Sure, I'll guess the B plot too.
Not JT or Toby.
Uh-huh.
Main player in the B plot is Paige.
Okay.
And a hint I'll give you is that it's a continuation of something that Paige has, of a plot Paige had earlier in the season.
Okay. Paige has to serve concessions at the dance.
Okay. All right. I'll take it.
Because she's trying to pay off Spinner's car.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. You're going to be really pissed when you watch the episode and you're going to be like, oh, wait. Shit.
Really?
Well, because it's something very clear that you
forgot that Paige is doing.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's doing.
Yep. Okay, then. Based on this episode, Degrassi, The Next Generation, season 4, episodes 11 and 12, voices Carrie. Are you a Degrassi fan?
No, this moved the needle the wrong way, and I'll tell you why. It was really well written, but the acting didn't keep up with it, and it bothered me the whole time.
Yeah.
And that's been a thing and it continues to be a thing and it probably will continue to be a thing. So that is driving me crazy. Also,
stop moving the mic.
Sorry. Also, my two favorite characters suck now. So it's hard to, I mean, come on.
They're just not as
they're not the silly. Fun characters that I liked.
They're not as silly and stupid because yeah. they're maturing. They're getting older.
Okay. But then
you've got Danny.
Look, I like Danny. Danny's fine. He doesn't bring the magic.
And honestly, Danny also loses his little spark eventually too.
Of course he does. And that's natural and that makes sense and it's good. I want them to grow up into young men that can be proud of
yeah.
who they are or whatever. But like, give me fun sideshow idiots, yeah. please.
Do you have any questions for me?
No.
Okay.
No. After hearing that even like an episode we agree is good did not push me to being more of a Degrassi fan,
mm-hmm.
do you still love me?
Of course.
Aww.
You know, we went through the collective trauma of watching Craig be so embarrassing at this wedding reception that I don't know how we couldn't love each other after this.
I know. Honestly, this was worse than you having cancer.
Yeah. This was the biggest trauma we've ever gone through together.
100%.
I love you.
I love you too.
Where can the people find you on social media, honey?
I'm at Ezra Partier on Instagram. That's the best spot to follow me. My show, The Daily Misinformer, is at Daily Misinformer and all the thing. That's news, satire, jokes. I've been absent for a few weeks, but I'll be back. And my team, Headbutt, has a couple more shows left in our run at UCB. We hope to get extended to next year, but we don't know. So if you do want to catch an improv show, you got 4 more shows to do it. Hit me up. I'll get you comps if you're in the LA area. And my show, my team, Public Breakup, has a sketch show this Thursday, if you're hearing this when it comes out, January 25th. I'm assuming this is coming out Monday.
Yeah.
And another one this following night. So again, if you're in the LA area and you want to come see some sketch comedy, hit me up at Ezra Partier on Instagram.
Nice, nice, nice. You can follow me at OMG It's Key. That's on Instagram and TikTok. You can follow the podcast at Cuckoo Bananas Podcast on Instagram, or you can email us at cuckoobananaspodcast@gmail.com. Woo.
Hey, I want to go back to reading emails on the podcast. I know we've never done it, but I want to go back to it.
Okay.
So if you get any, let me read them.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Yeah.
So say anything that you want me to say to Keely, write it in an email.
And if you want Ezra to read it, don't put spoilers in the email.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you don't read them.
Oh.
I tell you this every time.
I know, but listen, my memory's bad.
I know.
I do remember that, but I'm trying to encourage them to email us.
I understand. But yeah. Well, I don't know what I'm going to get for you guys next week. Probably the character episode with Daniel. We'll find time. Thank you guys for listening. Bye-bye.
Good night.